Hi, I'm Dave Barnes.
And I'm John McLaughlin.
And welcome to Dadville.
Dadville is a podcast where we talk about life, love, and the pursuit of awesome dadding.
It's funny thoughts and deep talks.
So please, enjoy your time here in Dadville and enjoy this episode with...
Annie and Dave Barnes.
Oh, man, John.
Dave, you okay?
Yeah.
Why are you squinting so much?
It's so bright out here. I feel like I can barely see it. It's just... Well, man,
Everybody knows that time in the sun is best enjoyed with a pair of shades that you don't have to baby. You know, here, try these.
Okay.
Try these knockarounds.
Oh, these are amazing,
right?
John.
Right?
I feel like these lenses have UV 400, which, if true, is basically like sunscreen for my eyes, but without the pain.
Right.
Without
and guess what, Dave?
Pain. Yes.
It is true. Because all of Knockaround's lenses have UV 400 protection.
What?
400. And now that the days are getting longer, you got to get yourself a pair, Dave.
Okay. I really want a pair, John, but these seem really nice. Are they going to break the bank? Be honest.
Are
they $1 million a pair?
They're not. I need those back, though. But not a chance, Dave. With polarized adult pairs, they start at $28.
No. Nope.
Yeah. And you can get a few pairs for $28.
Yeah.
Leave them in your car, toss them in your beach bag, or like I just did, lend them
Give them to a friend.
Wait,
such
for a
great
and then
selection.
I'm going to need that back.
So many greats. Over 20 different frame styles, tons of kids' pairs too, and I can rep my favorite MLB, that's Major League Baseball, NFL, that's
National Football League,
and NHL, which is not Hungry Lemurs. I don't know these for sure, John. Team with an officially licensed pair of knockarounds.
That's right. Dadville fans, don't squint through family beach days or trips to the park. Check out knockaround.com and use our code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
I don't know if the listener can feel the exhilaration in my voice right now. The little bit of nerves, the thrill.
The chase. Mm-hmm.
The finish, because I feel like I've been chasing. Now I've finished. And what I'm referring to right now, listener, is I'm sitting in the chair. I'm swiveling right now, swiveling with ease. I feel like Dave Barnes, because this is the chair that Dave sits in every single interview.
Do you feel powered imbued into your body?
I feel powered by the fact that I know you feel powerless.
Do you feel a small surge of Sour Patch Kids running through your veins?
I do, and I love it, and I don't even like Sour Patch Kids.
It did throw me off for like half a second when I walked in. I was like, oh,
John.
Right? I've never sat in this chair.
I bequeathed the power chair.
I mean, I literally am like a foot taller than you right now.
Yeah.
Both of you.
Yeah, I'm sunk. I didn't realize that would be maybe weird for people. Is it weird for you, me sitting in that chair?
Yeah, I mean, I get complaints from guests constantly. Have we not talked about
I don't know if
Dave,
anything...
that's like a very psychological
It is.
Move
it works for me. The what if you just had like a side chat, like I got on your phone, you know, like, hey, would you see what something on your phone? I pick it up, and there's just nothing but you and every guest that's ever been
it's
on the show.
It's just Tony Hale just saying, I'm still not over it. And ours was over Zoom.
I've had so much success, and yet Dave has psychologically gotten into I can't shake the feeling.
You know, last thing about this chair, I think I've said this maybe before on the podcast, I can't remember, but Dave does this thing where he sits. Let me see if I can do it.
Yeah,
he
to like the very edge.
He sits at the very edge, and you put your feet up like this. Uh-huh. And actually, it's good for me to be sitting in this chair right now because it actually feels secure.
Yeah.
But when I'm always sitting where Annie is sitting, right?
Oh, do you worry about me
every time?
No way! I didn't know that.
I'm like in the middle of the interview. It's happened 100 times now. I always notice it, and I'm like, he looks like he's gonna slip right off that chair.
He's about to go. Oh, I loved it. I didn't know that. It makes me laugh.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Dadville. Dadville couples. Not only is this a Dadville couples episode, but this is the height of the crescendo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Of the month.
Bringing it to a big end.
Of Dadville episodes. Or couples episodes. Now, we may do more as we go.
This. Don't pin us in.
Don't end it.
What we have.
Have you listened to any of them, babe?
Mm-hmm.
You have, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what'd you listen to?
I listened to Andrew and...
Oh, yeah. Sean.
Sean Johnson. Uh-huh. I listened
to... That was a great one. You listened
to more than one?
Some of Drew and Ellie.
Oh, yeah. Look at you. That makes me feel good.
Was that your first Dadville episode you ever listened to?
No. I would love... I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I would actually really love to know how many... Does Amy listen to it?
She does.
Oh, God.
See, babe? She listens a lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you don't really... Annie's not a podcast girl. That's what I tell myself.
That's what you
Look,
say.
She's dead quiet right now.
Yeah.
I mean, really liked Kurt Thompson.
Yeah, his
Oh, my gosh.
And I feel like I was at a good clip early on. Like, yeah. I listened to Al. I listened to, like Steven.
I mean, a
lot of the people early on. And then I kind of just...
I just...
And you're like, I get it.
All you would have to say to me...
You just do so many podcasts.
Well, all you would have to say to me is, Dave, I hear enough of you. And that's the... Like, why would you
totally understand?
Like, as a spouse, like, you're just, you already get so much.
We should have Jason edit one where you're, Dave, you're cut out for Annie.
And then
I'm cut out for Amy.
Oh, it's like the Taylor versions. It's just the Amy and Annie version.
All right. Guys, we got to get going here because we got a lot to get to. And what we're going to start with is the meet cute. From the beginning, I want every detail. Let's hear it. The year is what?
1978. I was born to a couple that had been married a couple years. And no, we met, oh boy.
We originally laid eyes on each other 2002, maybe?
I think it's
one. 2001.
Yeah, one. Mm-hmm. We had...
In the Vaught Hemingway.
Ole Miss
football
was playing Middle Tennessee State University, both alma maters, respectively.
Yep.
I had gone to see my sister had called me and said, "Hey, I'm going to go because we grew up in Mississippi, as I've talked about numerous times, and as did Annie." And so we had moved to Knoxville, and I was finishing MTSU at the time, so I had been out of Mississippi for a hot minute. Annie was just beginning her reign at Ole Miss. And Beth, my sister.
So you're a senior at MTSU?
I think I graduated.
You graduated.
No, you hadn't graduated.
I was a senior.
However, you were not a senior.
I was a, okay. That's judgy. Do you hear that? Just because she's a doctor of pharmacy, you're going to hear a lot of the shame on the
podcast,
by the
way. He was a fifth year.
I was what we call the victory lap. Just one last time to wave.
Amy did it.
Say goodbye to
people. If Amy hadn't done it. I wouldn't have Amy.
See? Thank you.
Same with you.
Same with me.
Yeah.
And so
we should celebrate it.
Beth had called and just said, "Hey, I'm going to visit some friends from she had worked at Camp DeSoto, which is a camp in all girls camp in Alabama. Some of her friends not just from growing up but also from the camp were at Ole Miss, and she said, "Hey, I'm driving from Knoxville to Oxford to see them. Do you want to come along?" And I was like, "Sounds great." So we that weekend went to randomly it was homecoming for Ole Miss, and so they were hosting MTSU, the powerhouse, the Blue Raiders. And if you're being...
Is that like a rivalry?
Oh, no. No. Okay. That would be like if me and
MTSU
Taylor
would
Swift
love
are having
to be
a rivalry.
It's Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Is that the big rivalry?
Yeah. Okay. And so anyway, so we meet there, but it was very... Like that, I think we hung a couple times that weekend because of big, like our friends, big crowds were hanging and we were there, but there wasn't any.
And that's just random. You don't have
totally
mutual
random.
Friends.
Yeah, totally random.
Okay.
And
well,
then,
we did have mutual
yeah,
friends,
we had a,
which is
we
why
had
we
a
ended
few.
Up in yeah. the same yeah. area of the stadium.
Yeah. Okay.
Because Beth was visiting friends that were my friends at Ole Miss.
Yeah.
So we
so
ended
we
up
talked
standing
in the stands
near
and,
each other.
Yeah. Yeah. And at the time, you're obviously dating Eli. Pretty heavily.
Had you been on dates with him yet?
Like, well before that, yeah.
Before that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay.
Maybe that's why I was drawn to you.
Let's move on.
So anyway, meet there, no sparks. Fast forward to like a month later, we go to visit the Barnes family corporate goes to visit our family in Mississippi. We're in Jackson, Mississippi for the weekend for Thanksgiving. And there's just kind of not much to do. And I said, "Hey, you remember that really, there's a really cool girl I met that I know lives in Jackson. And I don't even know why I'd had your number, but I just was like, maybe they're hanging out. Cause her sister, Laura, who's, is she and Brad the same age?
She's a year behind Brad.
You're younger than Brad. So my youngest
Brad
brother.
Is your brother. Yeah.
And so I just said, "Hey, you want to see if they want to hang?" I mean, it was no, just literally, like, she was just really cool. This
but
guy.
You had Annie's number.
Yeah.
No, I think you got it from, like...
Oh, maybe that's true.
I
yeah.
don't know.
Okay. Internet. And and so, internet was so small then.
It
so
was,
small
it
and
was
so
basically
safe.
Just numbers.
It was just
it was kind of number. Like the yellow pages.
it kind of was, honestly. So we hang, the four of us, me and Brad and Laura and Annie, and just had really fun. I remember we went to Barnes & Noble. It was just like killing time hanging out. I think maybe we went over to the Egg Bowl and watched some of it with Brian and some of your friends, Sorgan Fry and that crew.
What is the Egg Bowl?
I can't remember
it's
that.
It's when
really.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State play each other football every Thanksgiving break. Anyway, so again, nothing happens there. Well, then, buckle up, John, because this is here's where the real party starts.
Wait, can I pause you real quick? Like, is this a mutually agreed upon? Nothing, Dave's like, nothing, no sparks yet.
Yeah, I
you
actually
agree?
Don't
Her
even
sparks may
that.
Have continued to not happen past our wedding day, just FYI. But we, so we kind of keep in touch, sort of, but not really. She comes to, this is, gosh, babe, 2 years later?
A yeah.
couple years later.
She, oh, wow.
Yeah, she comes. So no real interaction between them.
Yeah.
She comes to Nashville for a Vandy Ole Miss game. A lot of Ole Miss football
yeah.
interconnecting
yeah.
this
Love
year.
That.
If it weren't for Ole Miss.
I know.
Jeez.
I know.
We
so
have our song title. We have our country
place.
Song title.
If it ain't for Ole Miss, it
ain't
weren't going to happen.
I'd be missing you. Ole Miss and you. It's all there. You just got to work it out. She comes to Nashville with some friends. This is a true story. This is my version of the story. I'm in West End Community Church, which was meeting at what's the name
Bass
of it?
Bass
Middle School. And, you know, living my life, being me, you know? I'm just
sure.
being me.
Yeah.
And I walk into the foyer after the service, and the way that I remember this is the sunlight had come in through a window, and it was settling itself on this stunning young woman. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing her profile and going, oh my gosh, who is that girl? And because I'm young, John.
Sure.
I am out.
So this is 2003-ish?
Yeah,
that's right. Okay. So
and the sun was
2003
hot
sun in Nashville specifically.
Oh my gosh.
Gorgeous. Like some of the most
Forget about it.
Direct illuminating sun. Uh-huh. And so I see her and I remember thinking like, I don't know who that is. I've never mm-hmm. seen her at church before. And she turns in like a true sitcom moment. She turns and sees me and like slow motion is like, Dave. And I was like, oh my gosh, that is Annie McGee. Mm-hmm. And she has all grown up. And so I walk over and just.
But at that time, would you have said, oh my gosh, that's Ann McGee?
Yes, I would have said that. That's before she converted.
You went by Ann.
Yeah, mm-hmm. she hadn't converted yet.
You didn't have your doctorate yet.
the IE doctorate. So anyway, I go over and just, I mean, if anybody knew me then, and Annie has total freedom to make fun of me, I was just like a little golden retriever puppy and retriever.
I like actually. To think of it as your like juggling face, like you were just ding, dee, dee,
yeah. That's
ding,
a yeah. that is such yeah. a great
the
way.
Show
you may remember some
constant.
Of that, John, from knowing me back then. But yeah. just it was a lot of energy. It was a mm-hmm. lot of you know whatever.
Yeah, I remember it. We
vive.
Hung out yesterday. I remember it.
It hasn't flagged much. but anyway, so I do what I did then, and I'm just like trying, you know, Annie says it well. I was just kind of like, hey, oh my God, how are you? What are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm great. You know, it's good to see you. But I am like smitten.
Full
like,
on.
Oh, yeah. It is like, so true story. I get in the car with Jake Owsley, all of our mutual friend uh-huh. who was in my wedding and vice versa. And I told Jake, this is a true story. I said, I'm going to marry that girl. That's it. She's the one. And he was like, you are crazy. So anyway, I convince her. Very begrudgingly to go meet us for lunch that day because I was like, the more time I can get with this girl, the better. Mm-hmm. Well, she cut very much. Sure, I'll, you know, we'll where are y'all eating? Okay, we'll meet y'all there. And so I'm like in the car, Micah, all the guys were going over and it's like, hey, look, she just doesn't really, she just pays zero attention to me the whole time. I'm doing my whole like, whoa, you get home, what's that over here? And then looking, I play some songs, you should listen to my music. You know, I'm doing everything I can. Wildly uninterested. She goes back to Oxford. I get her number, I call her once. And true story, the whole time we're on the phone, she's having another conversation with a sorority sister in the room while I'm on the phone. So, you know, and I'm such a I'm so driven that I don't care, and I'm still trying to. So what do you just? Oh, I don't know. I don't like that shirt. No, if y'all, where are y'all going to the library? Okay, you those. And I'm like,
you're just sitting there on your trio.
Oh, like, hey, face
this,
burning.
The battery on sunburn. This trio will go for hours. I can feel
I will
its energy.
Outlast you. You do not know.
What do you remember this phone call?
Vaguely, but not really.
Not really.
Yeah.
So you can't recall if this was like a calculated move on your.
Well,
end?
I do remember getting. The next phone call, I didn't answer, and he left me a voicemail, and it was just that sort of energy, and like over, I was just like, whoa, you know, mm-hmm. I was like, hey, what you doing?
Like doing some impression. Yeah. I don't know if you're going to call little phone. And so anyway, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's just, oh,
that's
well.
Not happening.
You know, knowing like, well, shoot, this, I really felt like this was. Thing. So then Wirtz and Elliot Morris and Griffin House and I did a tour called the Someday Tour.
Uh-huh.
And this is 6 months later. And I'm in North Carolina. The only tour I've ever done by myself, still to this day, was February of whatever that would have been, 2004. I was in my car alone driving through North Carolina for like a week doing shows. And I'd never forget this. It snowed, so travel was so slow on these interstates. And so I was
Is
just...
Is this the Roadmaster?
Roadmaster, yeah. Yes. Yeah, General Woodensides. And so I'm literally going through my phone just calling people because I'm like so lonely and, mm-hmm. you know, bored driving and I'm in traffic. And so I remember Annie's name is in my phone. And I remember thinking, okay, caller... You can't be on the phone for more than 5 minutes and then hang up because you're just going to talk until, you know, we know how the last call went. And plus, I was doing the show with the Someday Tour, and that was kind of what I was doing, was call and say, hey, why don't you come out to the show? We're going to be in Memphis. You're in Oxford. Bring some friends. It'll be fun. So I call her, and I'm like, I'm literally looking at my watch like, okay, well, good. Well, how you doing? Oh, it's good to hear. Okay. And she's like, hey, how are you? You know, very congenial. I said, well, hey, listen, purpose of the call is like, I have this show. I'd love for y'all to come. And then I hang up, and I'm super proud of myself. I tell Brad Barnes, and Brad is like, oh, man, you invited Ann McGee. And I was like, yeah. And I was like, if I see her, I'm going to ask her out. And he's like, all right, that's like our pinky swear. You know, like, you're going to do it. So that day comes up a couple months later. We pull into Memphis. I actually forget. This is a true story. And so I call her last minute, and I'm like, hey, shoot, it's tonight. I don't know if y'all can still come, but, like, it'd be great if y'all come. And so she –
How far is – Jackson, or are you in Oxford? Mm-hmm. How far is Oxford from Memphis?
It's like 45 minutes to an hour.
Okay.
We have to pause. I'm sorry.
We're watching Lolly. They're, oh, gosh.
She's digging for treasure. Watch this cord, Dave.
This is, I believe, the first time that Dave has ever stopped an interview.
Sorry.
And
our dog is
no, it's
a
right
hole
on brand because Dave, if anything happens to this yard of Dave's,
yeah, it's just because of
she's
the yard.
Just gonna start again, so I'm gonna do that again.
Their sweet, adorable dog Lolly was just digging for treasure,
and she's
okay.
gonna do it again.
Where were we?
You called right before the show again,
yeah. You had forgotten that it was happening, and then you're like, oh, it's tonight. Can you guys still come? You're an hour away. Mm-hmm. Had you forgotten?
Yeah, I think so. But also, just for, like, memory's sake, I think, for me, that show was more of, like, Dave was the second the grass gets involved.
John.
Dave.
I want to talk about this.
I'll talk with you.
I want to talk about this.
It's depending on what you want to talk about. I will talk to you.
I really like how you got out of that.
That's
good. Does the craziness of everyday life have you stressed?
Yes.
And shedding?
Yes.
Okay. Since having kids, have you started seeing a little more of your scalp?
More than I would like to see, Dave.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, you can't answer this one, but I'm going to ask it. Has menopause impacted your hormones and your hairline?
I want to say yes to all those. And listen, I know when it comes to thinning hair, there are many root causes.
Oh, well,
there we go. At play. And, Dave?
Yeah.
Nutrafol addresses all of them.
Okay.
Through the multi-targeted whole body approach.
John, if there was only some type of online quiz I could take to get a personalized hair health plan.
David
that's
Barnes,
what I want.
Today is your lucky day because guess what? There is such an online quiz.
Oh, my
with
gracious.
Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz, you can get your personalized hair health plan today.
Oh, wow. Then it's settled. It's this easy, John. I'm going to take my hair wellness quiz right now.
All right. Well, we're kind of in the middle.
Okay.
All right. You're going to do it right now.
Definitely not an afro.
All right. You know what? That's great because Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding.
I'm done. I just took Nutrafol's 3-minute quiz. I'm super fast.
Perfect timing.
Yeah, it was really quick for me.
Yeah.
To determine which underlying root causes, pun intended, are keeping me from reaching my full hair potential.
I'd already made that joke, so okay. it's kind of bad taste to do it again. By analyzing your lifestyle, biology, hair history, as well as environmental triggers, Nutrafol creates a hair health plan that is tailored to your hair's needs.
Start your hair growth journey today by taking Nutrafol's hair wellness quiz and get your personalized hair health plan today. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping at Nutrafol.com/quiz when you enter the promo code DADVILLE.
Take the quiz and get started on reaching your hair wellness goals with Nutrafol today. Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code DADVILLE.
That's Nutrafol.com/quiz, promo code DADVILLE. John, I don't want to wake you up.
What?
John, I just want to, can I tell you something?
What time is it?
John, listen. What do you think, what do you think I'm the most picky about in this world?
Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm still waking up.
Just answer.
I don't know. How did you get in my house? Well, I mean, you can be very particular about some things.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe you're a big Oxford comma guy, you know? Always got to do the comma after the and.
Listen, I'm definitely pro-Oxford comma, but that's not it. Keep guessing.
I know. Okay. You don't allow different foods on your plate to touch.
John,
that's kind of
food
your thing.
Doesn't have hands. How would they touch? You're wrong again. The thing I'm the most picky about, guess it with me, is...
Candles.
Yes.
Candles.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I should have said that.
So many home candle scents smell unnatural and chemically.
Gross.
And after learning that the candle industry contributes to an insurmountable amount of non-recyclable waste, carbon emissions, and toxicity in our air, I am even more prickly. And picky, John.
And picky.
Yes. Give me two words that start with P, and those are the two I'm choosing.
You can choose both of them. That's fine. Dave, I heard that almost 2 billion candles, that's with a B, are sold globally every year, and almost all of them are likely to end up in landfills for the next million years.
Oh, man.
So what? Here's my question.
Yeah.
What can we possibly do about this?
Notes Candle has the answers. Notes created a refillable candle system that allows you to use your candle vessel again and again. And guess what, John?
Again.
Oh, so you don't become part of the problem. It's so easy to use. The candles are made with fragranced wax beads. And they're wax, John. This is what I want to tell people. They're not whack wax.
They're not.
It's really great.
It's
wax,
legit.
Okay? They're awesome. All you do is place the wick in your reusable, John, notes jar.
Okay.
Fill it up with wax beads. Not whack
not
beads,
whack.
John. Enjoy your fragrance for up to 36 hours, and then just do it all over again when you're ready for a new one.
Okay, so if I'm following you, that means that I can switch out fragrances all the time.
Yeah.
Because that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, next question, Dave. Tell me. Do they have a candle that smells like bougie and luxurious and calming and also warm?
John, that's the Santal and Atlas Cedar candle.
Okay.
Personally, I love the coziest scent imaginable. Sweet, but also a little spicy. Like you, John.
Uh-huh.
So I went with the vanilla and pepperwood.
Ooh.
It's perfect for movie night or just cuddling up on the couch.
I love it. All right. So be a responsible consumer while not giving up on high-quality home fragrance by making the switch to Notes. Make the switch and build a starter kit. Right now, Notes is giving listeners 15% off and free shipping when you buy a Notes starter kit using the code DADVILLE at notescandle.com/DADVILLE.
That's notescandle.com/DADVILLE for 15% off and free shipping. It's wax, not whack.
I wish this were video so we could turn the camera so everyone could see Dave
Look.
Trying to harangue the dog.
I know. That's not going to work. Dave, why don't you just stand there so you can keep going? I didn't want her to potty inside. Well, then go put her inside.
Well, she won't let me get her. Dogs.
You want me to, she'll listen to me. I feel like you're not going to be able to.
Oh, I'm here. I'm back.
Are you back?
Yeah, the basketball has saved me because she's just going to keep digging in the same hole.
She's like, now what do I do? that my one spot to dig has been blocked.
I feel like I need to just put her up.
Yeah, just it's when she brought her out, I was like, she's either going to dig in the yard or she's going to scratch the door mm-hmm. into oblivion.
She has so much energy.
Well, it's so funny because she really is an extrovert. Like the Barnes, we're pretty much collectively extroverted. So
yeah.
The energy fits.
Yeah,
it's just...
I'm talking about Lolly.
Oh, no. Yeah, she is extroverted. She's a sweet dog.
So dumb.
Set them up and knock them down.
So dumb. How do you feel like it's going so far?
I'm super attracted to her. I don't know if it's mutual.
You need to get a grip because once we're done with the interview, you guys can do whatever you want to do. But
how do you think it's going?
I can't remember a single thing that's happened so far.
Oh, yeah, me neither. Have we started?
We started the podcast like years ago.
Oh.
That's a thing. I can't go back.
Oh. So this isn't the first episode?
No. I mean, in a way, it kind of is.
it might be
the last. There we go.
Proud of you, babe.
The breeze is nice, though.
It is nice.
Let's just agree on that.
Watch this. So we do the we're pulling in, call Annie. Annie's like, oh, I don't know. I got to sort of, it's kind of late notice. Let me see if I can get some friends and maybe we'll be there. Cut to the show. We're doing the show. There's negative five people there. In a 1,000-person room.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's there.
Yeah.
But we're powering through. We're big boys. And sure enough, I think the last song, next to the last song, because it's kind of a round with the four of us, the back door opens, and here comes Annie and two of her friends, sister and...
I think there are four of us.
Was there four? Okay. And they all come in, and so all of a sudden I'm like reanimated like Michael J. Fox on Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, I've got my fingers back and everything's happening. And so sure enough, in very true fashion for me, at the end of the show, I beeline to Annie. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, so thank you so much for coming. And I'm doing the whole thing, and I'm just...
So this is the first time that you have heard Dave play music then, yeah?
Well, I don't even know if she heard a song.
Yeah, I don't know if I heard him
Oh,
play.
You didn't? Okay.
Which really worked to my advantage because who knows how that had gone at that point. But I'm trying to figure out a way to ask her out because it's her sister, and two of their friends. I thought it was just Mary Lindley and Laura. Anyway, I can't get her. I can't pick her out of the pack. I can't sort of like corral her out to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And so I'm not kidding. I mean this. By God's grace, Griffin just... does the job. He just kind of walks into the thing and he starts talking to the other two, and I sort of grab Annie and go, hey, like, you know, I don't know.
Way to go, Griffin House.
I sort of owe him my marriage.
And he didn't have a shirt on.
He had his shirt off. That is a true story. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
He had taken the shirt off. Yeah. And he's a good looking guy. So the fact I was still in place.
Maybe he wasn't trying to help you.
Yeah.
He was just...
He's like, oh, yeah, sorry. Did she say yes? Because I was going to ask her out.
I always take my shirt off and dive into a pack of girls. I'm on tour.
Oh, my gosh. Dive into a pack of girls. Dive into a pack of girls. And so in literally a minute, I just go, hey, like, are you seeing anybody? And she is like, no. And I said, I would love to take you out on a date. And she goes... Well, I'm moving to Jackson, and so, I mean, she couldn't have been more, it was bordering on disgust. It was like,
I love how direct that is.
Well, I knew.
The phrase, are you seeing anybody, that is like a, if you say that, then it's like,
it's the amush,
there's no going
it's
back.
It's the amush boosh to the next comment, which is, you know.
But it's like the next comment almost doesn't even need to be said.
You've already asked.
You have
asking.
Said everything. By asking that.
But the minute I ask that, her whole vibe changes because she's like, no. And I was like, well, listen, you know, and she said, I'm about to move back to Jackson, to live with my parents, finish pharmacy school. Like, and I was like, I'll drive to Jackson. And literally she goes, okay. And I was like, done, sealed.
What are you feeling in this moment?
I was like thinking, this guy's crazy. And also, no.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to just say no.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's funny that question, are you dating anybody, is like our current modern day question of like, do you guys have plans Friday night, and it's like you don't want to say yes or no before you know what the offer is, you know. Uh-huh. But if you say no, I don't have plans, and then they say, "Well, you know, we're having this party," yeah, then yeah. you're like, "Shoot, I said yeah. no, I have to go." Yeah.
Well, oh, sorry, when you said plans,
yeah, we didn't have yeah. kids at the time to deflect and give us reasons to not have to do
right.
something.
Yeah.
And so anyway, sort of pull this whole thing together. So I get in the van. I'll never forget this, and I was flying. I was like, yeah. I told the guys, we're celebrating me, Elliot, you know, Griffin and Wirtz. We're like hoo-ha on our way to the, I'll never, we stayed in this random cabin somebody had in Memphis. I just remember it being like, where are, you know, who cares? You know as well as I do. Like that age is like, they could be like, you're sleeping in a hammock in somebody's backyard. And I was like, anywhere, great.
Yeah,
it didn't matter.
It didn't matter.
And so I just remember getting there and literally like, just so excited. Like, oh my gosh, I called Brad. I was like, she said yes. Like, oh man, that's amazing. So, and then the funniest thing is
she said yes. Well, she didn't say no. She didn't. Well, she yeah, did actually say
I
no.
Heard, yes. It doesn't matter what she technically said, but I could feel the energy
bogged
in the room
down with the reality
so,
of what
so
happened.
So, the last couple things when she was leaving, I gave in an effort to help anyway, I gave her Brother Bring the Sun.
All of us.
I gave
you were
each
like
of them.
Shelling
yes.
them all
yeah,
out.
I was just yes. like, here's all anything I can do. And Annie got in the car with her sister, who Laura gets, she and Griffin get half assists on this whole marriage. But she kind of lamented to them, like, guys, you won't believe this. Like, Dave just asked me out. Like, kind of like, ugh.
And they're all like, yeah, we can believe that. We're not shocked here.
Yeah. He was licking your hand the whole time you were talking. But like, you know, but Laura thankfully says, like, Annie, I think you should. Maybe
she's like, I like him.
Yeah.
To which go, Annie's Laura. Like, oh.
And then, thankfully, you know, Annie later confessed to me after we had been dating. She was like, you know, that record was actually good for me to hear because I thought you were just this, like, you know, this coked up sort of like right. Robin Williams Jr.
Yeah.
So then when I called her a couple weeks later to kind of figure out the date, the tone had drastically changed. Mm. Like, I'll never forget. I was in Houston playing this thing for Bob Swan. Shout out Bob Schwan. When he's dancing. And so I remember being in the hotel room, and again, it was like North Carolina. I remember being like, okay, you're not going to talk for long. This is logistics. But she, like, I'll never forget. I called, and bring, she's like, hey. And I was like, looking at my phone. Like,
wait, did I call mom?
I literally. And so she was just so different. Like, it was like she was so conversational and kind of interested. And so. It was like, oh, something has changed here. Mm-hmm. And so we did our first date, and the day she graduated Ole Miss, and it was so much fun. But just, again, she was very, like, poking the bear, kind of like, who are – like, what is your deal? But there was enough interest there, and then I was way up for whatever that looked like, and then that kind of set the whole thing in motion. Although I will say one of the interesting things about that date, we did, like, a marathon date because I had a show with Wirtz the next day somewhere in Tennessee, and she was driving back to Jackson to start pharmacy school. And, you know, we had this really fun date. It lasted like 8 hours, you know, because I dropped her off at her friend's at like midnight that night, you know, and we had like, she had graduated kind of early afternoon. And so we just hung out that whole day.
So you came down to Oxford.
Yeah. Yeah.
You went to the graduation.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you didn't go.
It was after.
Okay.
And the thing that was crazy about it is I hadn't seen her. You know, like, I'd only seen her 5 times at this point. And so we met at Square Books. I'll never forget this. And I remember I went to the wrong Square Books. There's a children's one. So I'm like, this is a weird place to meet somebody. And the guy and the woman kind of like, oh, you looking for a book? And I was like, yeah, just perusing. Like, it's just me and this woman. And I'm like, God, what kind of perv do I look
looking
like?
For a girl.
Yeah, like, you got any girls? Excuse me, sir? And so then I walk over to Square Books. And I remember thinking, like, I know, because, you know, again, like, there's social media. Like, I remembered what she looked like, but I was like, yeah. I hope I was right on this, because I've only seen this woman 4 times.
Isn't that crazy? Like, you can't even imagine. I'm thinking of, like, my, you know, 16-year-old niece. She can't even imagine what this is in this moment right now. Yeah. Like, you can't just pull up your phone and in 2 seconds have 1,000 pictures of this person.
And so, genuinely, I remember being nervous because, like, one, I know I'm going to recognize her, but genuinely was like, that was a real, and then the other thing was like, what if she walks in and I'm not as attractive as I thought? And she walked in, and I was like, nope, that's her. I definitely feel like I used to. And so we had a really fun day. But we were, the next morning, last point, is we were, you know, we met for breakfast the next morning because we knew it was probably going to be a minute before we saw each other. And so driving away, I was driving back to whatever that show was. Annie was driving to Jackson. I called her to say, hey, thank you so much. Like, I know that was a big ask, and like you had your family in town and they kind of left early so that we could go on this date. Like, it just means a lot. I know graduate is just a lot. It means a lot to me. And she was like, you know, she just basically said, like, I just don't know about this, Dave. Like, it just feels like this is a lot, you know, like you're going to be in Nashville. I'm in Jackson. I've got pharmacy school, and reasons only God will know. By God's grace, in that moment, the thing that I said was, Annie, I just think if it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. And so if you will let me pursue you, I'm going to keep doing that. And she was kind of like, oh, okay. It was like, I just let out the longest breath ever. Cause I was like, I knew this was like, this is the moment. Like, you either go like, mm-hmm. yeah, I hear you. And you know, let's just connect in the future and see, you know, whatever you yeah. say then, or just like, you know, it was fun. Let me take you out. You know, God bless.
Right.
But I think I just knew like, this just feels so substantial. And I think in that moment, it was like, that was the shot. That was shooting the shot. And she was like, okay. And I just remember being like, oh my God. Like, hung up the phone.
Did you, Annie, feel like there was just too much pressure on it? And also, it's long distance. What's the, yeah. How far is that? I'm bad with geography. I don't know.
Nashville
how far.
To Jackson's 6 hours.
Oh, so that's substantial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I just, like, at that point, was like, yeah, this guy's fun. I mean, but also,
really hot.
This doesn't. Or it doesn't really make sense, and I just don't feel like it's gonna
work. It just doesn't make
out.
Sense on paper.
Yeah.
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 So what was the moment, when was it like, okay, it's happening. We're together.
I don't know.
It has that happened Over. Yet.
And now, let's just leave it open to, do you feel that yet?
Could we make it happen right now? Because I feel like on paper it should.
I mean, it just like grew over time. Mm-hmm. And I think the long distance, while it's hard to not see somebody, it was just so nice to have like communication be our foundation.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where just we talked to each other. A lot.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of. And I mean, you know, John, that's like back when you and I and Wirt and everybody, like I was on the road a good bit. And so I would have long stretches in the car where just we would talk for 4 hours, you know, because she was like, she had time. And
so that is the complete opposite of Amy and I, because we yes, I was on the road a ton, and I hated it. I was so bad at talking on the phone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like I would, and part of it was I was in the van with
oh with
the
guys. Yeah, yeah.
And so
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You can't even.
It's totally different.
They have to listen if yeah. they're not, if they don't have headphones on, mm-hmm. and I need to also be hearing the music coming out of the headphones to make sure they're actually, you can't not listen to someone's phone call. Mm-hmm. And then, so I'm just self-conscious of that. And Amy can hear that I'm self-conscious.
I'll never forget. I did a tour with Pete Schmidt. Shout out to Pete. Mm-hmm. And I talked, I mean, we still, when I see him, we laugh about this. I would talk for hours in the car with just he and I to Annie on the phone.
Yeah.
And he would just giggle. He'd drive and just, no headphones in, just
that
listen.
Is such a difference between the two of y'all, though. John is like so hyper aware of like anybody and like, you know, bothering anybody or whatever. And you're like, peace, guys. Yeah, I'm like, doing my thing.
This is the thing that I want, and it will come at the cost of other people.
We should have had Pete here for this interview.
It would.
He could be like, oh. No, because hang on, because in April of 2004.
He would have as much intel as I do.
Yeah.
Now, you guys had a big fight. I don't know if you remember that. And then
you remember
you
that?
Called
I
her.
Was terrified.
Yeah. I really. Yeah. There was a lot of that. And then I think just that it helped both of us because you got to ease into the relationship.
Right.
It wasn't like trial by fire where you're just kind of like. So, yeah.
I think that's a good point. Like, you're forced to have these conversations.
Yeah, yeah.
These long conversations.
We knew, I mean, that was what was so fun is because we tried to see each other about every two or three weekends. And being together was just so easy and light.
Yeah.
Because we had talked so much. Mm-hmm. So there wasn't this like, we got to really get to know each other and how we think
and
feel.
Yeah, like we have 4 hours to be together.
We were like,
yeah.
you know, it was just like hanging and eating and, you know.
Yeah. By the time we got married, we had never been in the same city for more than 5 days.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah.
At a time.
So that sixth day
was our wedding. Was, rough. Was the wedding.
We
day.
Knew how the first 5 days of our marriage was going to get.
Yeah. 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 That was well rehearsed.
Just take it 5 days at a time.
Yeah. That's, we still feel that way. Yeah. That's kind of a mantra.
So
that's why the weekends are so tricky.
So what would you say is, this is a question for both of you. What would you say was the initial thing that you were attracted to in the very beginning?
That's a great question.
And then what would you say is the thing that you're most attracted to now?
John, look at these questions.
This is Amy McLaughlin.
This is her question.
The thing that I was attracted to, I think, was Dave's, like, depth. And, like, that was what sort of changed my mind about him initially, mm-hmm. was, like, I thought he was just this, like, clown, you know? But right. then once I like, got a sort of a glimpse into his, really his music and his, like, depth of thoughtfulness, and that was what was my initial attraction. And I think it's definitely, like, changed over time, but that's still the thing that attracts me the most today, is, like, his thoughts, his perspective on life and people. And, like, I feel like we connect in so many ways on, like, the way we understand the world. And I just really appreciate that about you.
Well, guess what? That's this world.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, hey, what's up?
Hey, what's the difference between the King James Version and the New King James Version of the Bible?
Okay, I'm not 100% sure, but it's probably like Yankee Stadium and New Yankee Stadium.
Or like Star Trek and Star Trek Next Generation.
Exactly.
Like,
listen, John, both are great, but Babe Ruth only played one of them. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, Babe Ruth was in Star Trek?
Yeah, so unknown fact, fun which known. Makes it a fun known fact. He was actually an extra in the second episode.
No way. Okay.
I just made that up. One thing the King James and the New King James Version have in common, John, is the Teen Study Bible features both of them, along with the NIV, too. They're not leaving him out, even though he's not related. The Teen Study Bible is a classic, and it sold over 4 million copies.
I love the Teen Study Bible because it helps teens discover how God's truths relate to their lives today, and it helps them apply God's word to issues that they face, like bullying, depression, peer pressure, and stress.
It features notes, articles, book intros, character profiles, Q&As, and more, offering the knowledge, strength, and clarity to navigate life's challenges with Scripture as your guide.
Find out more about the Teen Study Bible and order your copy today at amazon.com/teenstudybible.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
That's going to be my ringtone, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think for me, I was so drawn to Annie's confidence. Like, I just loved how she was just like, this is who I am, mm-hmm. and this is how I feel. And that was like a magnet to me, because I was like, man, to be with someone that could be that sort of like rooted, mm-hmm. was really, really attractive. And still is. And I think it's funny. Like, I still feel that way. I still feel like, I just love that I'm married to someone who I kind of don't have to take care of. I know that sounds terrible, but there's not this feeling of like, hey, are you okay? Is everything okay? Are we okay? You know, like, she's so steady. And so, like, she's just, I know where she is all the time. You know, like, this is who she is. This is where she is. And I think for me, that's still something that's so affirming and attractive, you know. Mm-hmm. And like she said, I think we've just been really blessed because we really do feel the same about a lot of things, which really helps, you know, mm-hmm. like our read on a lot of life is pretty similar. And so yeah. I think, and you know, it doesn't have to be the same all the right. way across the board, but I think the things that are really important, it's crazy similar. And so that's a real sense of refuge for me, is feeling like I can come home and be like, this thing happened and I feel this way about it. And she's like, oh yeah, I totally get that. And I'm like, okay, good. You know?
Yeah. So, I mean, so you guys are still similar in a lot of ways.
Yeah, married.
When you got married. And you're still married. Mm-hmm. Just, I want to be clear for the listener. So answer for each other. How, what do you feel like is one of the starkest differences for like Annie for Dave and Dave for Annie?
The biggest
today
changes
between now and then.
I mean, Dave has changed a lot, I think. You're much more like grounded. Mm. You're not as flighty and and I think that like the biggest sort of change that I appreciate the most is how helpful he is now. when he wasn't that helpful. Like I really feel like we're a team, but I didn't feel that way a lot at the beginning of our marriage.
Yeah.
And I feel that way now.
I don't know that you would have met someone who was kinder and more, you know, wasn't a whatever, but I was just not, I was so in my own world and not very thoughtful. And I think Annie has like really shown me how to do that. I mean, it's one of the things I think that she's probably taught me the most about. She's like, hey, there are other people in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm going, oh yeah.
And you're like, I know, I'm entertaining. I'm crushing.
Look at this. Yeah. I think with Annie, I think, again, one of the things that I've always been so attracted to her is her sense of can do anythingness. You know, just her competency is so through the roof and commitment to whatever that thing is. And so I think with that comes a lot of strength. Like Annie's just always been really strong. Like she's just a tough chick. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that she's changed in our marriage, probably the most to me, there's a lot of ways, but I think one of them is that it's not that she's not strong anymore, but I think that kids especially just – for Annie especially, it's like it just kind of like it warmed her heart so much to just life, where I think if you'd known her before, it's not that she wasn't, she was still just as thoughtful and compassionate, but there were just some accesses that were pretty closed off. Not to me, but I'd say probably more to anybody else. And so I think with kids, she's just really warmed. It's just like she, you know, I just feel like you're so much more emotional. You're so much more like emotionally available, you know, like things can really affect her now that I think for a long time you would just sort of power through, you know,
Like tenderness.
Yeah. That's it. So much more tender. Mm-hmm. Heartfelt, like very like, you know, not afraid to be sad or cry or whatever that thing is. Where I think for a long time it was like, you know, there was like a power through mentality.
Yeah.
It was,
right.
You know.
Yeah. So what's the one quality that you would steal from each other? If you could steal one quality from Dave, Annie, what would you steal?
I mean, this is the easiest question because Zanna has it. Zanna has Dave's joy and like love for life. Mm-hmm. And I just think that is just such a gift to people. And I don't have that same joy and like, I don't know, just like effusive, you know, happiness or like I don't know what I'm talking about, John. Mm-hmm. But just your ability to put a smile on people's face is a gift.
Yeah
That's really sweet. I think Annie is, she's just like so committed to completing anything she starts. Like I tell her this all the time, and I don't mean to beat a dead horse with you, babe, but she just doesn't have a pain threshold. You know, like it's like if she has said she's going to do it, she's going to do it. She is going to do it. And I think like she's just so, that's some of what her power with compassion and thoughtfulness come together in, is like, she's just like, that person means a lot to me. And so I will put myself in lots of inconvenience to make them feel good. And that is just, it's incredible to watch, because it's like, you know, she just blesses so many people by how much she cares for them and thinks of them. And, you know, I see the other side of it, of how much it inconveniences her and how much it puts her out, or how hard something is, or whatever that is, where they get to see just the culmination of that thoughtfulness. And it's really taught me so much about how, I mean, again, what that agape love thing is, where it's like love is about the other person, the end. You know, it's about caring and loving people. And she's just so good at that. It's like really astounding. And inspiring, and like super intimidating. Yeah. Because it's like, woof.
Okay, so you guys have kids. You have three kids. I mean, this is a ridiculous question, but how do
we know
feel like
their names?
I know Andy knows their names. This is more for Dave.
If you did birthdays right now, I think I could get them right, but it'd take me a half a
second. I saw a reel on Instagram the other day where a guy was like on the street with a mic stopping families and asking the dads, like, can you name all three of your kids' teachers?
Oh, don't.
And it's it, like,
those are, that is.
You couldn't do that in there.
Last year.
I think I could. On. One of them said a teacher like so confidently, and his daughter was like, that was my fourth grade
listen,
teacher.
Listen. I have to out myself.
What? Dave knows the teachers' names. He just doesn't know that there are kids' teachers.
They are. Last year. Annie. I can't stop laughing. Annie gave me something, and she's like, I need you to run this to the school. This is exactly what she said. I need you to run this to the school and take it to Zana's teacher. And I said, okay.
I don't know this story.
And I got to the school, and I walked in. It's a lunch break. I walk in the classroom, and I walk up to this teacher, and I said, hey. I said, this is for Zana. And she goes, oh, okay. Do you mean to take it to her teacher? And we both started laughing. She's like, you know, I was saying a teacher last year.
You were only 1 year off. That's not
I
bad.
I started laughing so hard. And it was like, I just felt so loved because she started laughing too. But it was like, oh my God. I was like crying walking out of school. I was like, this is just such a dad moment. You know, like
that thing. And you went to the right school?
Oh gosh. Yeah. Because I knew the minute I walked in the room, I was like, something's not right. Because she was like, hey. And I was like, hey.
You're like, that tone.
that's not the tone of, I have your daughter in class. That's the tone of, I had your daughter.
Yeah.
So you think I have her in class.
So how have kids impacted your marriage? If you can,
man.
If you can give an answer to that.
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, for me, this sounds so trite, but it's like, it just gives it so much purpose. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, I remember Annie and I early on in our marriage. I'll never forget this. We were sitting watching, I think it was Downton Abbey, and this was before we had kids. And I remember feeling this weird feeling of like, is this it? Is this life now? It's just like we, you know, this is kind of what existence is for the next 60 years, and then we die. And I think kids for me have just given us this wonderful other thing. You know, you get to serve and love and all those kind of things. And so it just feels like there's a little more point on it. You know, you're just kind of like, oh, this is where we're going with this whole thing. You know, like even if that's soccer games or basketball games or school plays or, you know, going to chapel this morning and sitting and watching Sam celebrate his half birthday, you know, it's like, it's just all of a sudden you're like, you know, oh yeah, here's where the energy goes, you know?
Yeah.
And I think I'm really thankful for that. I know that that's not something my body can say. And I really know that journey is so tough, but I'm really thankful that God has seen, you know, for us to have these three, because it just feels like, oh yeah, it just feels like, oh, this is where everything should be and how we should spend our time. And it's not like I always love taking kids to soccer practice at Tuesday at 7 PM, but you know, it's like, I don't know what else I'd be doing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
I think that it's really, I mean, having kids at the beginning was so hard for us because there was just such a big learning curve on how do we become a team?
Yeah.
Like, we had lived 6 years as a married couple before we had kids. And so we really had done well the like independence thing. Like we each have our own sort of lives and we can come together, but also like we are really, Dave was on the road a lot in those years. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had great friends that I'd created that weren't Dave's friends. And so anyway, having kids, the learning curve for us was really steep on we need each other and I need you for the first time, really, probably in our marriage. And once we sort of got over those mountains, I feel like we've really learned how to work together and, you know, it's just brought so much life and joy.
I think two things, and one of the reasons I think Annie and I were so attracted to each other is kind of what bites you in the rear for a lot of marriages, right? It's like that initial thing suddenly can turn on you a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think one of the reasons that we really fell for each other was we're both very strong, independent people.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that in each other and we went, that energy, I know that energy, mm-hmm. and I love that energy. The problem with that is you chuck a kid into that energy and it gets really tricky because it's not, you don't kind of have the really sweet, you know, because all you need is one of those in a couple. You know, it's like somebody who's kind of like, oh, no. And then the other one kind of keeps to do their thing, whatever their thing is. And I think for both of us, it was just a real, it just rocked our world because suddenly like these two people who were used to being able to do what they wanted to do and had big visions and loved to travel and, you know, were used to just being untethered, suddenly we're like absolutely tethered. And I laughed with a friend of ours the other day because he was just, you know, grieving with me like, man, this, you know, kids is so tough. And I think they just had they were on their third. And I said, you're going to hit a season in your life if you're anything like me. Because right now you're still fighting to keep your thing. You're kind of like, no, if I just power through, I can still do my thing, still have these kids in this marriage. And I was like, but it will break you. You're going to, and I don't know if that's, I said, I felt like that when Ben got, our oldest got to be about 6 or 7 and he started really to do things where it was like, oh, I have to help now. I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it really felt like Annie needs my help in ways that are new. And then it was like that dream sort of died in a way. I mean, I'm being facetious, but like the sort of like independent, like I'm still, if I just push hard enough, I can still achieve the thing, all the thing. And it was, and then not only did that die, but then I realized like, oh, I'm so much happier doing the other thing. I'd rather take the kids somewhere, help Annie. Like I get so much more from that than whatever it is over here. I was really fighting to keep and try to keep whatever that thing was. But I do think there's a moment where for me, it was like, okay, this just isn't working anymore. Like this, you know, me trying to kind of live two lives. And I think in that moment, that's where kids really get to be profoundly, you know, whatever that word would be, where it's like, I can't keep doing this thing. I really have to give myself to being a parent and a helper and a spouse and, to Annie's point. But I think I fought that for a while because I was like, oh, I'm still a singer-songrighter and I'm an artist and I got to do,
I've got my intramural soccer.
Yeah, gosh, and they are depending on me to sub in at 60 minutes and right before the end of the game.
If we're up by enough.
Sure. Or everybody's sick.
Okay. We're at the lightning round now. But I have quite a few here, so let's try to move through these. Okay.
I'm a slow processor, so lightning round makes me sweat.
Well, you can sweat because this is the lightning round. So we need fast.
Okay, I'm gonna
This one's going to be very easy.
I'm going to try.
Okay. Which side of the bed are you guys on? Are you on your respective sides of the bed right now?
No. Yes. Well, it depends what perspective.
I'm on the, if you're looking at the bed, I'm on the left.
Yeah. So your perspective, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm on the right.
Is that always the case? If you're on vacation, are you always on the left side?
I am happy sleeping anywhere.
Yeah.
Dave is very much a creature of habit. And if I don't even think about it. I'll just get in the bed. And he will often be like, you have to get on the other side of the bed.
Yeah.
Because you have to roll to the left to get out of bed.
Well, once we upgraded to king size, it sort of changed everything. Because, queen, you're still kind of touching each other. And so there's a lot of maneuvering of where you lay in the bed and that kind of thing. So some of it's honestly just that I'm at the age where I pee every night. So I'm like, I just want to be close to the bathroom so I'm not having to like
But
wake
you'll
her up.
You'll forfeit being close to the bathroom if it's the right side of the bed for you.
I don't know.
Oh,
I don't,
really?
If you watch, I don't actually. Oh, okay. Well, okay. Somebody knows everything. who's awake and taking stock of things while you're sleeping. That's me.
Pretty soon you'll get to the age where you're still peeing, but you're not going to the bathroom.
Yeah, just.
That's coming.
No.
How great is the king?
Oh.
It's been great.
You guys just
Elvis?
Upgraded. Like within a year, right?
Oh, yeah. 6 months.
It's pretty recently.
Yeah, this summer.
I forget when Amy and I did, but it.
Yeah, it's a game changer.
If you're those listening, if you're like, guys, this is ridiculous. A queen is plenty big.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. If you sleep on a queen.
Yeah.
And you've never slept on a king.
But boy.
Once you go to the king. Annie's, I'm not even talking California king.
Annie's not a hype girl. Like anything that gets hyped, she goes the other way. So the king thing for her for years was like, it's new cares. Like
that's how I fun. That's how I felt.
But we hadn't had that thing a week, and she's like, oh my gosh, I want this bed.
I'm also very cheap, and I didn't want to pay for like a mattress and a bed. And
she was like, "Let's grow our own cotton. We can make a bed. We have a cabin. We can do this."
Okay, it's the middle of the night. A kid starts crying. One of your kids.
I was gonna say, I hope it's ours.
Who gets up?
Me.
Annie a lot. We've had seasons though where the kids have like wanted they've come to like right now they're coming to my side of the bed.
Well, that's not the question, Dave. That's not the question.
If you need somebody in the middle of the night.
See, there are things that we're learning together right now, John,
in real time. Yeah, that's a separate question. If the kids come into your room, whose side do they go?
I hope Dave's. Yeah, I've told them.
Yeah, of course, he tells them. So now,
see, this is a this is an argument for switching sides.
Yeah,
change it up. You thought mommy was over here. What, honey?
Dad,
I wish my kid. I mean, I don't want to get up in like in the middle of the night. I don't want to get up.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying like I'm golden dad over here who like I'll pop up and help with whatever.
Yeah.
And Amy will wake up if a feather from
that's
one of the pillows.
Yeah, I'm a light sleeper.
I am out.
Yeah, you're
which is more
guy.
Like you. Yeah.
No, but our kids will, I mean, immediately come to me. They never go to you first.
Yeah,
and I hate that.
Wait, so all the times they come to me, it's because you told them to come to me.
Yeah, but that's only because they've already come to me once.
She's been up for
said,
an hour and a half.
Go to dad.
Yeah.
Things I'm learning right now. I kind of felt good. I was like, oh, look, they're coming to me. Go to bed. Oh, they're coming to me. You're fine.
So I used to sleep just in my underwear.
Mm-hmm.
And I overheard one of the girls say to Amy one time, like, I don't want to go to dad because he's naked. And so now, for years, I have slept
in a suit,
full socks, sweatpants, shirt.
So they will come to you.
And they still never come to me.
Go the other
direction.
Now
they're like, it's too much clothing.
Go completely nude and see what happens. They may be drawn to it.
I know. I'm not actually naked. Anyway. Okay. So you guys just knocked out two of the questions. This question is just for Annie. Annie, what is your favorite song of Dave's?
Oh, gosh. There's so many.
That wasn't a compliment.
One of my
just
favorite songs
so
from back
he's
in the day.
A lot of songs.
This is an old one that I've always loved, Miles to Go.
Oh, wow. Mm. Jeez.
I don't know why. I just always have loved that song. Yeah.
Okay.
I love,
and Annie,
I could keep going.
Right.
And we have the instrumental track.
Yeah.
No, I could keep going. I love Until You on a Night Like This is like one of the first ones I loved, probably.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of good ones.
And then all the new ones.
All the ones on the Candlelight album, the like Valentine's EP.
Oh, yeah.
I love those. I love the Stars Over London.
Oh, yeah.
That is a good one.
Thanks for bringing something new in there, Anita.
Yeah.
She's like, you have a new record? That's great.
No, we know. We all know it.
Yeah.
Okay. You have 2 hours, just the two of you. What do you do? Kids are taken care of. You got 2 hours.
Is it in the daytime or the nighttime?
Daytime. Middle of the day.
I mean, what, we walk to go get coffee and...
She's probably want to get amorous, and I'm going to say no to that. I'm going to be like, that's not the mood I'm in.
Sure.
I want to go walk.
Uh-huh.
That's probably her answer.
Uh-huh.
No, I agree. I think we'd probably go like... It's like y'all are so great about this. Like, go for a walk and go grab lunch or something until it's out there, coffee or something.
Yeah.
Probably that.
Okay.
We do, I feel like most of our time is daytime time.
Yeah.
Like, because we have a lot of freedom in the days.
Right. Okay, you have 2 hours. Each of you are alone with the kids for 2 hours. What do you do? And it can be you go do something, or it can be you do nothing and you're just home, whatever. Anything's on the table.
I mean, there's so many questions I have around this time. Like, how old are they? What have we been doing?
Current day.
Current day.
Yeah. They just finished up their Bible study, their morning devos. Kale salad bowls are in the sink.
2 hours, we're home.
2 hours, you're staying home?
I'm staying home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd probably say that, or some really focused Top Golf, you know, something that's like we can go do, and I know it'll take the time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a hot take. I think my biggest struggle as a parent is when I feel like I'm trapped with the kids in a way that I can't change the scenario. Meaning, like, one of them.
What would be this scenario you're
describing?
You know,
like, I don't know. One of them has me in a corner and I can't get out. Kind of like, hey, will you do this with me? And it's like an hour activity. Listen, I will tell them in therapy, I'm sorry. It is such a struggle for me. So I think when I know I have time like that, I'm like, it helps me if I know we have something we're doing. Like, even if, like, Sam and I have been playing pickleball in our basement, which is really fun, or, you know, even playing gotcha. Like, those kind of things are fun. It's when I feel like it's kind of like, we're doing this for 2 hours? That feels egregious. So that's why Top Golf.
But don't you think, and I'm asking this because I'm with you on this, whenever my kids are like, hey, can we go play, jump on the trampoline, or can we play this game or whatever? I always think, well, this is the next hour of my life.
Yeah.
But it's probably not.
It's not. No, you're right.
It's not.
The other thing that I do love about living where we both live is, you know, let's walk to Jenny's. Let's mm-hmm. go get some coffee or white bites.
I feel like our kids are just in a phase right now where they just don't agree on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why, unless I'm like, let's go to Target and y'all can all buy a toy, which I never do that unless they have like Target gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the only thing they would all agree on. Every other thing, one of them
that,
wouldn't
you
want
have
to do.
I mean, if your kids are like mine.
You have to gear up for that.
You have to gear up for it, but you have to set a timer and be like, okay, in 10 minutes, you have to have decided on something. And that's, the 10 minutes is going to go by, and they're still going to be like, I can't decide, you know. So it's still going to be.
Mm-hmm. But at least they all want to be there. I think
it's true.
The problem with us right now, because we have 2 boys of different sort of stages and a girl, it's like doing one thing, they're not all going to want to do
right,
it.
It's
so
tough.
I'm like, we'll just stay home and y'all can all figure out. Yeah. Hopefully Luca and Livy are home.
Yeah. Okay. You guys are doing great, by the way.
Thank
we just
so
have
much.
A couple more. You have, the kids are taken care of. They're with grandma and grandpa. Mm. You guys have 2 days. Just the two of you. And let's say travel's not a thing. You can instantly be wherever.
Mm.
What do you do?
Or that's, I mean, I know that one immediately.
We go to the beach?
No, I think, I mean, if travel wasn't a thing, I'd go to London again.
Oh.
But I mean, yeah
we
I think
could
the
go
thing,
to London
the thing
for
that,
2 days.
The thing that Annie and I mean, I know we've talked about this. I feel like every couple we've talked to, it, you know, on the pod or not, it feels this way. I think the thing that's so tricky about having kids is it, you know, you just get in this groove of things where it feels like this is my marriage. Like, this is how Annie and I relate now. And trips are so fun when it's just the two of us, because an hour into the trip, it's like, oh my gosh, I know you. Mm-hmm. Like, I love you. You're mm-hmm. so great. And it's not like I don't feel that. I'm not saying that that's not how I feel every day, but there's something about just that time away
yeah.
that you sort of settle back into those people that you're like, you remember when we used to do this kind of stuff and it was so fun? And we went to Chicago a few years ago and it was just like, you know, I remember that was one of the first trips we got away from the kids. And I just remember thinking, like, walking around Chicago and I was like, this is just so much fun. Gosh, this is fun.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I remember one of my favorite parts of that trip is we walked into Adidas shoe store and I looked at my phone. I was like, babe, it's 5:30. We should probably get some food. And she's like, Dave, the kid. And I was like, oh, my, I'm so sorry. Yeah, we can eat whenever.
Yeah.
I'm already winded down.
Yeah.
Um, Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, honestly, anywhere.
New York.
Yeah, New York would be great. Beach would be fun. Anything.
Yeah. At this stage of life with kids, it's like just anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere. Anywhere. Anywhere.
Okay, what is one simple thing that each of you could do for each other? This is a I'm making this question complicated. What is one simple thing the other one could do for you on a like a any given day that is like a simple thing that means the most? Like, for example, I don't know if Amy were here, she'd be like, this is not my answer, but she loves it when I take the trash out, and I hate to take the trash out. Mm. And so I'm like, that's just one simple thing I can do every day.
The first thing I thought was clean the kitchen, clean the sink, get the and load the dishwasher, unload the dishwasher. Those kind of things.
So if you walk into the kitchen and that is done, that means
like,
a lot.
Yes.
Yeah. Annie, it's like you'll never hear more annoyed than if something like overnight that I'm like soaking. And she walks in the
Dave
next
soaks
morning.
Everything.
That is...
He literally soaks everything.
You soak.
And
yeah.
I'm like... So then you get up the next morning and there's like cold water in the big
Annie
thing that's taking
like,
up the whole
soak,
thing.
Just wash it. I'm like, it loosens the grime and it's half the work.
It loosens the dirt for you to wash in the morning.
When I'm gone. I think, you know, the risk is not cheesy. I'm such a big words of affirmation guy. Mm-hmm. So anytime Annie says anything slightly complimentary, it is like, oh, my God, thank you so much.
Yeah.
So I'd say anything like
and
that.
And I know if I haven't given him compliments, because he'll be like, so did you notice that I or what did you think of that thing that I did? Or he'll be like, how do I look in this shirt? I'm like, oh, yeah, I need to tell you. Look good.
What did you think of the I didn't let things soak and I actually washed everything last night. Did you see that? Tell me that's great. Tell me you love me.
Tell
I'm attractive.
All right, last question. If you wrote a book on marriage, what would it be called?
Man, that's good. We've asked this to couples.
You knew this was coming.
I know.
No, I didn't know it was coming. Maybe good luck. I'm cheering for
you. That's a great title.
Did you hear that?
Good luck. I'm cheering.
What a great title.
I hope this works out for you.
Don't make a bad choice.
Yeah. Pick the right one. I think for me, it'd be, you know, probably something in the world of like really hard but really worth it. Or like really hard but really good, you know, just like something in that space. I think if it was parenting, it would be ask your mom.
That's a great question.
Hey, John, what did you say on y'all's?
I said simple things.
Oh, that's sweet.
I'm a big believer in just like I said, those.
The like coffees.
Two little things that you can do for your spouse that you know mean a lot and are simple for you to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just do those every day. That should be your baseline.
I'd say one of the things that's exactly your point that's so crazy about marriage is like I do so many things on a daily basis now that weren't even on my radar when we got married. And now like they're not in my skill set. They're not in my love languages, whatever you want to call it. And they are huge parts of it every day to me that help Annie. You know what I mean? Like, and it's funny just how that your life changes that way. It's just kind of like there. Now I do these things naturally, you know, and it's cool to see that you can really adapt knowing that your partner needs whatever those things are. They really help. And so it's cool to find that like, wow, I've really like, you know, simple things. Like, I just know if I do this, it'll be, Annie will really appreciate it and do that little thing. And then before you know it, you're like, oh, I just kind of do these things now.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the, oh, I should, you know.
Right. The transition is the tough part.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, you guys are doing great.
Thanks.
Thanks for being married so that we can interview you.
Thank you for interviewing us about our
marriage. Go get some coffee, you lovebirds.
Go Blue Raiders.
Can you unlock this with your Apple Watch, Dave? There we go.
It's not letting you stop.
I guess we should keep going for a little bit.